Welcome to Draft
Hello.
Champion. Oh, okay.
Now, hello and welcome into the Draft Champions podcast. It's me, Bjorn Masterson, and I'm the meat in a Canadian sandwich with Zach Waxman and Brian Jenner today. Insert applause at the end of this, please, Rick. All right, and we're going to start off with an in memoriam section. This is something we always do.
Aren't
That's
we
very
going to like
somber.
introduce the guest? Like, isn't like, can we got to go to this right away? We can't like Brian Jenner, Canadian fantasy baseball player, very good NFBC player. He's been quite successful, and you can find him on Twitter at and a handle. Is it Brian Jenner?
It's at Brian Jenner. Yeah.
Yeah. Any relation?
Relation to who? I don't know who you're talking about.
Bruce.
Bruce. Oh, my Uncle Bruce. Yeah. Sorry, my aunt. Yes.
Yeah.
That person that you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. And you know, I thought we'd get you on. So it's the Draft Champions podcast Pride Month edition. It's probably going to be only episode during Pride Month. So I figured, you know, let's get a Jenner on and let's do this. So yeah, back to your. No, it's great to have you on, fellow Canadian and fellow. Or surf league mate. It's good to get you on. It's been overdue. You should be on some podcasts, and hopefully my agenda is good enough for you, because I don't know if it is, but
oh, I got high standards, but
no, absolutely. For sure. That's okay. In memoriam, Bjorn, you are ready?
Yes, I'm ready. This is where we were missing Rick, because the audio is not coming through.
Oh, okay.
Remember you. All right. This first in memoriam goes out to The Athletic, not the writers, because you're competent, talented people, and I know you're going to land on your feet. But The Athletic, as a business, you haven't been profitable yet, and I don't like your chances. The dollar a month subscription isn't working. You can't get much lower than that. Good luck to The Athletic.
Very nice. My in memoriam goes to Mike Masato, aka MTM. He's retiring. This is the last trip around the sun here.
It's been so long, I can barely remember when you were ever here. Dinosaurs were actually still alive the last time this pod came out. Rest in peace, Rotosaurus pod. I hope that you can be resurrected in some sort of Jurassic Park-like miracle.
Yes, likewise, in the Cut Fantasy Podcast with John Fish and Brian Venancio. I haven't heard that one forever, and they're sorely missed.
Sorely missed indeed. My ears feel hollow without them.
Same. It's like I haven't spoken to them in eons.
Did you have any players you wanted to talk about?
We'll
in
give
this,
a shout out to
this segment.
Yeah, sure. Do you want to go first or should I go?
Jordan Alvarez. He'd be the greatest player, you know, when he puts together that healthy season. Unfortunately, it's going to be for company softball when he's 46.
Yes. And I'd be remiss not to mention, you know, a friend of the pod, Jacob DeGrom. May he rest in peace. Or his UCL, rest in pieces.
One last player who should have been culled from your lineup a long time ago, Lance McCullers, JR.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks, Bjorn.
That was touching. Great, great idea, Zach.
Great. Well, let's, you want to take a moment, or is that enough? Get right into the episode here.
I think we're good.
Okay. A couple of things here that I'm. First of all, we're missing Mike Govey. Mike Govey asked me to come on this podcast, and I figured since I do that, I don't do too many podcasts anymore. It's pretty busy. I figured I want to get Brian on. So I figured we'd sort of do co-guests. And he couldn't come on. So, Brian, you got to come up with a theme song, right?
Yeah, I was
You got any
Goge
ideas?
was going to do the song. I was actually kind of stuck in the mastering phase of the whole song. Not quite ready for Draft Champion standards, unfortunately, but I think it would have been a banger.
Yeah, and if you haven't already, like I know he would have plugged something on the show, please give to his brother, the one in the tent. So we need to get some more funds to the tent for the tent. Get it, everyone. Let's make fantasy baseball fun again. Get out of your tents, okay? Everyone, let's get out of your tents. Get people out of tents, okay? That's really the message that I need to get across for this podcast.
Can I donate my appearance fee? I don't like it's I know it's very generous, but
Yeah, want me to just directly put that into the GoFundMe for the tent?
if
Okay.
that's possible.
Okay, cool. So, I'm thinking today, and I'm like, you know what? Some just this is not a useful exercise at all, but what I'm just thinking about players that like if you had drafted them, not fabbed them, these guys probably already paid off their draft cost already. Like even if they just like got injured and out for the year. One of the guys is Camilo Duvall. Like he's for amazing ratio, he's got 18 saves already. Like if he just like got Tommy John surgery now, like it'd obviously be bad for your team, but like he's been amazing. And another guy I was thinking about is Ester Ruiz. For where you drafted him, maybe not when he was getting pushed up near the very end, but like even if you got him in around 15 or after, he's got you 31 stolen bases already. And like let's say he gets out for the year, he's banked you 31 stolen bases, and you can replace him with somebody that's going to get you some stats that he wasn't really getting, like some more home runs. So it's almost like at what point, and this leads me to a question that I didn't even think about it until now, like at what point, like are people going to end up cutting Ruiz at some point in the season? Like even a healthy Ruiz that's doing well, just because they're just so far ahead in stolen bases in some situations where you have him along with like other players, like you drafted Wander Franco, you know what I mean? Do you think that's going to happen this year?
Yeah, I don't think it would take too much. For Ruiz, minor injury, losing playing time. I don't know if they have anybody good enough to cause him to lose playing time, but it's the kind of guy where you're not really counting on him for all the stolen bases because you don't know how often during a draft he's going to be in your roster, right?
Right.
I could. Unfortunately, I didn't take a chance on him, so I don't have that option right now. But I can see if you're getting killed in the power categories and you've banked already. I don't know how many steals he has. Was he at 30?
Yeah, more than I think the 31.
Yeah, then I could see it because you got to think about what's that what those each marginal steal, what's it worth to you? There's so many guys stealing bases now. Do you really need 30 more from him along with his 20 RBIs?
Yeah.
Something to think about.
I think owners of Ruiz around the beginning of August might have to really start thinking about looking at your team, looking what else is on your team. And I think this is going to be a unique year where a player that's been pretty very valuable, you might have to start thinking about sitting him or cutting him at some point. And I'm just thought of that notion now, so I could be wrong, but I think that's going to be at least a consideration for some people, or should be soon.
Yeah, you can even sub them in. You can see who's on the schedule coming up. I don't know, like the Dodgers give up a lot of stolen bases, whoever he's against. You can kind of fill them in like that on a part-time basis. But then if you're doing that, at some point, it
Yeah.
might just be worth it to cut them and see what else you can get. But
Anyone else you
obviously
guys
not if
should
you, yeah.
Think of Bjorn, like have already paid off their draft cost almost. Try to think like Wander Franco, no, not yet.
Mitch Keller, probably.
Mitch Keller, yeah, he not Heaney, Eovaldi, maybe.
Yeah,
Like
Eovaldi, I got a lot of him, but
if he went down today, he could be like did Eduardo Rodriguez pay off his draft cost? He might
oh
have.
yeah, kind of the guy you'd almost rather him get injured than suck for 2 months before you get rid of him.
Yeah, it's almost like a blessing in disguise right now.
Not a bad guy to
Conversely, there's people
have.
that like I don't think can pay off their draft costs the rest of the year. Like not talking about injured players, I'm talking about players like
Tyler
maybe
O'Neill.
yeah, he's injured, but like Sandy Alcantara. I don't know if he. I don't know. I think there's a very slim chance he does.
Yeah, and he can't drop him. So you got this guy stuck in your lineup and he's stinking it up.
Cease, maybe. I don't know. You know what? Those two guys still have a chance, but I think it's coming up. Lance Lynn. He's done. Manoah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's in that in-between stage where they have the enough allure to keep throwing him out there, but just not working out. But
Yeah.
what are you
So
gonna do?
speaking of those top pitchers, like there's some talk today about Striders versus Burns. Somebody on the clock. I don't know who that account is. There's a lot of burners out there right now, but or anonymous accounts. Strider or Burns rest of the season, Brian.
At this point, I think I'd still go Strider. He's got the strikeout still. His velocity is down a little bit, but I mean, I think he's kind of got some bad luck on the batted balls. Burns kind of more of a question mark, in my opinion.
I think it's
But
pretty close, to be honest.
yeah.
I think it's close, but honestly, like I was Burns throughout a lot of the draft season, and I got the receipts, like the draft receipts, to show that. But near March, I sort of leaned on Strider a little bit more, and I have a lot of Strider as well. I have more Strider than Burns just because of where he was going earlier on. You could get like Burns was going late first, early second, where I was getting Strider late second, early third in throughout most of the draft season. So that was that, like just in terms of the cost, I was getting a lot more Strider. But can't it's hard to remember what I was thinking like in March. But I think near the end, yeah, I had Strider ahead of Burns, but not by much.
Yeah, they were close. I honestly probably would have took Burns ahead of Strider, but they were so far apart that it wasn't really an option, and I didn't end up with either one of them. Kind of had Strider and DeGrom to choose from, and you made that decision for me in the surf
Yep.
league there. So you took him one before me. I ended up with DeGrom. Kind of sucks, but
Yep.
yeah, I think, I don't know, I think it's easy after the fact to say guys like Burns were wasted picks, but you know, Strider wasn't really a sure thing. Like we knew, oh, we have 130 innings to see what he was, and we know he's really good, but he's never really had to face any kind of adjustments, you know. So
Yeah,
we'll see how he does
that's fair.
at this point. Yeah.
Speaking of DeGrom,
I had a question, not about a player you would cut, but would you ever consider benching? I don't know how many shares of this guy either of you might have. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at home. I thought I saw something interesting as of a couple days ago that he had yet to homer there.
are you serious? I never even knew that.
So, like, and the narrative, I believe before this year was that he was completely having, you know, how much power does he actually have in that bat? And I can't remember who tweeted it. I apologize for that. Great tweeter, but he hadn't homered through like 130 plate appearances or something like that.
Yeah, I read that too, but yeah, I don't really have any Vladdy, but I can't see myself playing
No,
anybody else over him.
I would not bench him. No
Yeah,
way.
his power does kind of come and go. I don't know if it's a launch angle thing at home or what. I haven't paid too close attention, but I'd bet on him coming around.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of DeGrom, who's the 2025 Jacob DeGrom? So it's a, and this was in a like this was not a like a dig at like the next year's Yelich at Vlad Sedler's next year Yelich. It wasn't a dig at all at him. It was more of a dig at like me and Dave. Like it's kind of funny because like we're both like, oh yeah, don't draft Jacob DeGrom. Don't draft Jacob DeGrom. And it took like 2 years to have a victory lap on it because like he didn't actually get Tommy John. We've been saying that since the beginning of 2021. So it's more of a like a rip at myself and like Dave for like saying like don't draft him, but and then you can finally victory lap it, but it's been like fucking 2 years for it to
Yikes.
happen. So I'm like, who's the guy that's gonna be like, who's the 2025 Jacob DeGrom, like the guy that's gonna like you're pretty pr predict to get a Tommy John in like 2 years from now? Should be Strider.
Could be McClanahan.
Yeah, it's just a fuck. It's like it's a
Guy
crystal ball.
throws 98, plays for the Rays. I mean, like they get every ounce out of their guys, and it's obviously not very good for their longevity. But
That's a good 2025 DeGrom.
but he could be a 2024 DeGrom.
Actually, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Gallegos is now the closer, I guess. Like, we saw Dr. Dave tweet that, right? Like, that's very useful information about that no one knew that was going to happen, right?
Oh yeah, it's Gallegos now. Yeah. Yeah, he
He
was getting
prompt.
saves even before Helsley was kind of injured. Wasn't he picking up like one or two a week for like the past month or so? But yeah, he would have been a good guy to have with Helsley going down.
He promptly gave up two earned runs like moments after that tweet, sadly, but the idea is still there.
It's
Oh,
valid.
the
Yeah,
thought
it's
was there.
very, yeah, it's very helpful. Just what he just wants to help people. So you know what? Another thing I found sort of ironic, and that no one's really you only hear people complain when the Rockies are not playing their young guys, and everyone's like, oh, Rocky's gonna Rocky. They're gonna get Chris Owens. They're gonna get Dale Murphy. Blah blah blah. They never let the young guys play. They finally do. Ezekiel Tovar. They're finally letting him play, but he fucking sucks.
Yeah,
So
he's
it's like
terrible.
no, it's like everyone complains one way, right? Because they're never letting the young guys play. Then no one really appreciates it when they finally do. He's playing like every day, but he sucks. But
Yeah, I'm surprised
he's kind of
they.
turning it around. But like everyone, it was sort of like you're betting on the come with him. It's like Rocky's home park, prospect pedigree. Like they promoted him. Like we weren't even like I wouldn't have thought everyone should have been so assured that he was playing every day, but he is. There's a lot of question marks, but people were still he was still getting drafted. I liked him, but I don't know. He's
Yeah, I'm
getting
surprised they stuck with him as long as they did, but I don't know who their alternatives were, but
I think he's been better.
I still wouldn't trust the Rockies, you
He's
know.
been better lately.
Yeah, he's picked it up in the past month or so, but yeah, then like they call up Nolan Jones for like four games and then send him back without giving him a plate appearance. It's like yeah, I don't know if I can trust these guys still.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that earlier in the season. This time they have an
Yeah, now
injury,
he's
so
back up.
they're forced to play him.
Yeah, and he's apparently not too bad.
All
Yeah,
right, so
better than
let's.
Mike Moustakas anyway.
You think Nolan Jones is going to stick? I think he might at this point.
Yeah, you think he's one of the better players already?
Yeah. All right, so let's look at what I wanted to look about today. We'll look at today is some of our leagues, and we're just taking. We'll just cherry pick one or two for example, and just how do we jockey like in season and looking at the stats, because this is not something that really is really talked about a lot on podcasts. Looking in season and how do you gain points? You see all the really good players, they just sort of gain and gain on you. You're looking in your rear view mirror. You might start off hot. And these veteran NFBC guys, they just grind you to death. And I know, Brian, like you talked about a lot about your process to me, like when we met in the Canadian League and we did the draft live. We talked for a while. And you're pretty genius when it comes to like mining the data. And building like tools to help you in draft. But what about in season? Like let's take a 12 team league, for example, the Mike the Mouth Midnight Madness League, me and you are in it. You're currently in first place by a lot. And I haven't looked at your team, but I am looking at the standings. And what are you going to be trying to do here? To I'm in third. We got Jeff Mitzef in second. So what are you going to be trying to do here? And finally, Mark Winoker might not win this league. I think he's had some rough injury.
He's had some bad luck in this one, yeah.
Yeah, he's had some bad luck. But I'm looking at the standings, and it's easy to see my teams in terms of where they're highlighted and what I'm going to do. I need to, yeah, just talk about what you look at in terms of your team, my team, whatever.
So for me, this is my only 12 team league I'm doing this year, so it's a little bit of a different process for me coming in. Didn't really have the same, like my closers, I usually kind of get one solid guy and then two or three or four, so-so closers that might not be, and that I can cut them. But that for me didn't really work in a 12 team league because you can't be spending those late picks on a mediocre closer that might not even be the closer. So I think at this one I only ended up with Clay Holmes and Kimbrel. And so cut Kimbrel somewhat early on, was getting behind in saves, but I had enough starters that I built up a decent not lead, but decent amount of points in the pitching side, starting pitching. But trying to find closers now to stick in is kind of been a challenge. 12-team league, a lot of guys are starting two or three closers. They have one on the bench, so there's not much available, and everyone else is climbing at a pace that's kind of hard to catch. So lately, kind of was at a crossroads. Like, do I even bother trying for saves still? Because I think I'm still stuck down at 9 saves, right? And the next guy, the thing is, the guy above me is Jeff Mitzef, and he's at 19. So,
yeah, what do you do here? That's kind of incredible that you got a hunt. Like, this is a 12, and yeah, you got 101 points with like 2 points in saves.
Yeah, but it's like kind of walking a tightrope, you know, like if the starting pitchers start to fall or you get a few blow ups, the ratio start dropping, you're not climbing in saves. I got nowhere really to gain above me anymore because I'm at the top in, you know, strikeouts and wins. So there's kind of get to a point where there's nowhere to go but down. So
yeah, you're first and second strikeouts and wins.
You're
way ahead in wins. I guess how many have you been throwing out? 7 starters?
8 starters usually. I just I had 8 starters in Holmes for quite a while. I had Kimbrel at the start, but he was, you know, him and Alvarado were kind of splitting it, so I had him on the bench quite a bit. I did pick up Liam Hendricks a couple weeks ago, and that was really nice for a week. And so now I got to figure something else out. But yeah, I don't know. I still might just punt the saves. But the thing is, if I keep going at saves, the guy directly above me is in second place chasing me. So if I kind of force him to keep more relievers in his lineup, that might kind of depress his strikeouts and wins as well.
You might not even notice that if we didn't say this in the podcast, because
yeah, maybe I
stuff is in like
that,
literally 50 leagues.
Yeah, yeah. But
he's like me. Like, this is the first time I'm looking at it, and I don't look at this like until at least July. Like, I'm not like one of those guys that say, oh, I don't look at the standings ever. But I don't look at the detail categorical standings until like now-ish.
Yeah, I usually don't look too close at all my leagues, but I only do 7 really. So it's not hard to do a deep dive on some, and when half of them are already kind of out of contention, I still keep up with it. But the ones that are doing well, I think I also don't really do the high stakes as much as some other people like you. Like, I have 2 1500 auctions, and I have this Mike the Mouth one, which is like a lower.
The auctions are the way to go, man. Those auctions,
yeah, I like those too. I used to last year did a main and an auction, but yeah, just
the main gets all the publicity.
Which is like, why I did it last year as well.
All the fab reviews, like,
yeah,
people people don't even care about the high stakes, like the $15,000 buy-in leagues. Put some stuff out on the high stakes fab. No one gives a shit. It's everyone just wants to know main event. But really, the prizes within those mains, it's such a bad ROI, like within those leagues. It's like 50, 60% ROI. I don't remember, but like a lot of it goes to the overall. It's really like,
yeah,
not the smart. It's, I don't know. Like,
well, it's different. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not, if you don't cash in the overall, it's probably not going to be a good ROI. But if you win your league,
you better be sure to win your league. Like, a lot of people,
I'd prefer the non overall, because honestly, I don't even pay attention too much to the overall until you're like 4 months in, and most of the time I'm already out of it by that point. But I just try to keep it balanced, and if you're close to an overall, that's good.
Last year, the top 30, like the top 30 got paid out in the main event. At this point, people in the top 30, at this point, half of them cashed in the top 30. So it matters at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just so much fun.
Already,
it's fun. It's the recognition. It's like the community. Like, everyone sort of knows each other. It's sort of like that alpha personality. You want to win. That's why I like the overalls, but it's really not like a career move. And that's what I also find kind of like,
yeah, and it's more for fun. Like, I'm not playing this as a job. If I was doing
it's not even a side hustle though. Like, for me, like, it's a hobby, and
it's a hobby. I hope to break even over the long
term.
And
it's really taking away. It does take away from like other aspects of your life. And I don't want to get into like a mental health thing that people thought like, oh yeah, I don't know, I'm not doing well. Like, it's affecting my mental health. I'm not talking about that, but I mean, like, this is like, it's just a hobby, but like, it's not a side hustle, because no matter the amount of time that you put into it is not going to make it worth it to win that much money. And I know that you subscribe to everything, but I'm like, man, like all of these like draft guides or whatever you're going to subscribe to, like all
yeah,
you
negative
are,
ROI.
You're just paying to be on a level playing field with a lot of other smart people that are doing the same thing as you. So it's like,
yeah, for sure.
If I were to like that's not gonna make this a side hustle. You're never gonna be profitable like that if you're letting someone else do your work for you and you're just paying for someone else to do your work. You gotta learn it yourself. And maybe there's a way to like get an edge that way. But if you're just paying someone to give you the answers, it's never gonna be worth it from a monetary standpoint, yeah. In my point.
And a lot of that's for entertainment too, like
yes,
subscribing to everything. Like if you're trying to pay attention to everything, knowing not what not to pay attention to is probably more important. And it's honestly like 95% of it is what you should not pay attention to.
Yeah.
The big stuff, all this, everyone's in all the Discord stuff's going big now, but just staying on top of the news, and it's not even an advantage anymore because everyone's doing it, but whatever edge you do think you have, you better also have be on top of the news. You better also have all the projection stuff. But that's the thing. Everybody has all that stuff now.
I kind of wonder if the projection stuff is shooting yourself in the foot to some degree. And there was talk about that on Twitter. It's just like, is it really helpful? I know you use it, but
well, there's two parts of a projection. The main thing is the skills part, I think, is very important. Playing time is a lot of just knowing the players and knowing the trends of what's happening. And it's the best projection in the world, if you're off with playing time by 10%, which they all are mid-season, like no one's like, there's like Jason Martinez and Rudy Gamble. Who else is putting out playing time? So you kind of miss all that fine detail if you're not using the projections properly. So you can use projections and think, well, these are terrible because Francisco Alvarez is only going to hit 9 home runs the rest of the year. But if you see it's in 120 plate appearances and I think he's going to get 300 plate appearances, then you can still use those projections.
Yeah, that one's obviously wrong. Right? That projection's obviously way out to lunch. Would you agree?
And there's a lot of things too, like starting pitchers. A guy's projected for 12 starts, another guy's for 17 starts. I ignore like the season total projections. I would look at per game started, what they're going to do. And if a guy ends up injured after 12 games or he's demoted or whatever after 12 games, so be it. I'm just looking at the per game, basically, even for pitchers, especially for pitchers.
I think it's a lot more important in a contest like Draft Champions to look at these projections because you're drafting – like especially like the runs and RBI totals and stuff like that, which are going to feed into your SGP. But like I'm starting, and this is like me and you are kind of different approaches when we come to drafting. You're very much projection based, I know, and I'm less so. And what I'm thinking that if we're drafting in a league like a 15 teamer, like we were in the Canadian league, I'm looking for players that can be like difference makers within certain categorical needs, like Ruiz or someone that could be like way outpaced their projections because there's so much churning in the, like it's in a fab league, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm looking for like, I'm not looking at like, okay, Charlie Blackman's going to get me some 60, 70 runs RBIs or something like that. And he has value as an S like an OF 4 or 5. I don't care about that. Like, because I know I'm going to find players in the waivers and I know I'm going to, like Weimer, Nolan Jones, all these guys are going to pop up every year, rookies and stuff like that. It's about playing the waiver wire. And Blackman's a guy that doesn't get you. He's not a standard in anything. So,
yeah, I think what a lot of people don't do properly is set a replacement level of what, like Charlie Blackman. Like if you look at replacement
Rick, if you want to go ahead and delete all this Blackman slander out when you're editing this, feel free. I'll let you two get back to this blasphemy. Continue on.
Yeah.
Well, so, go ahead.
So for back to the sex pig blasphemy here, replacement level. If you're looking at, you want, your stats above a certain level, and say the last player in your league is ranked whatever for hitters 345, and okay, that's my replacement level. Anybody better than that is good. So Charlie Blackman's like 341 or whatever, but he's not going to be much higher than that, and you're probably going to be able to beat that on waivers because your waiver guy is going to be way better than what your 345th drafted hitter is going to be. So I think setting replacement level properly is something that people do wrong. I set it much higher. It
should be higher for sure. Yeah. And just to that point is like, what goes through my mind when I'm looking at a player like that, and I know just from playing in probably 300 leagues over the past 3 years, I know that I'm going to come to a point where, let's use Charlie Blackman just to piss Rick off even more. I know I'm going to come to a point where Charlie Blackman is going to have a week of like two games and then three games, so like a two game slate, and then like a three game slate, and it's one of those not going to be in cores. I'm like, I'm going to look at the waiver wire. I'm like, he's expendable. Like, if he has a two game slate on Monday through Thursday, and it's Charlie Blackman, and I see Nolan Jones on waivers, even though before he started playing well, I'm going to take. That's a bad example because they're on the same fucking team. But let's say Joey Weimer or something like that. I'm going to take a chance on that. I'm going to take the four games instead of the two. And yeah, I might be cutting the better player overall, but not by much. So those players just become expendable in a foul so quickly.
Yeah, I think it's important.
I know people are going to disagree with that, and people have different strategies. Like, I know people like those safe plays. Like, I know really smart players love all those Washington outfielders, like Alex Call, and they love, what's the other guy? Lane Thomas. So, a lot of really good players love those guys, but those guys I'm just not into because I know I'm going to come to a crossroads where they're just going to be cut bait for me.
Yeah. The thing, as long as they're playing every day, I'm not against those guys, but I wouldn't really draft them so much as fab them. And if it comes time where they're taking a game or two off, they're not playing, you can cut them. But those kind of guys do have value. Like, people think the only upside you can get in a draft is for a young guy that's very unpredictable. But there's a lot of upside in a guy that's going to play every day, that's got decent skills, not fantastic. They can put up 30 home runs and 8 steals, and it doesn't seem like much on a weekly basis. But it does add up. I think there's something to that as well. But when you're getting that, you don't want to be paying much for those guys, I think is part of it. They come and go.
Just in FAB, FAB's such a bit different beast. For me, like when I get to a point where you got Lane Thomas, Charlie Blackman, Mancini, when all those guys, if you recall back 2 months ago, all those guys were getting drafted sort of in the same range. And there's countless guys like that, right?
Yeah.
I'm always going to take the Gorman, the Mitch Keller, the Justin Steele. And those are ones that worked out. But trust me, there's a lot of them that trying to make myself look smart here, but like there's a lot of them that didn't as well, but they're all turnable. Trying to think of the bad examples that you drafted back then. I don't know, like Joe Adell last year.
Joe Adell, Jordan Walker this year, I guess.
Jordan Walker's the man.
Yeah. No.
Did you end up holding him throughout?
I held him. But go ahead, Brian.
No, I agree, but I wouldn't want to be paying a lot for guys that have a lot of uncertainty like that. I know they have, it's more that not only do they have a playing time concern, but they might not even be good. So just kind of having both of those for me kind of rules out a lot of those, sex pig kind of guys,
it's more that you can't have more than one of the sex pigs, right? You don't want to
I don't want to be paying a lot for them. That's the thing. Like,
you don't want an orgy of sex pigs. You can do one sex pig, but
you don't want multiple orgies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's you gotta know how to, finesse your sex pigs.
I've been trying out pig noises on my soundboard over here. I really hope they come through, but I don't think they will.
You call that a soundboard?
Yeah, it's a, around the farm, it has animal noises.
Let's see. Now let's hear. Can I hear? Try it. No. Nothing.
Worthless.
Back to you, Brian.
So Bjorn can't make a farm noise himself, or
Sure he can. Heard that pig squeal before.
All right, now I don't want to let you guys go about you were talking about side hustles, and boy, oh boy, I don't need fantasy baseball to be a side hustle because I'm actually starting up a legitimate business I wanted to talk a little bit about. Brian, how do you feel about robot umpires?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I love it. I love it. You're probably going to be on board with this because so many times I see people going crazy, like bring on the robot umps. We want to have accuracy. We need 100% right. So a lot of these people I'll message and I get them interested in investing in my business called Robot Pumps. It's sex robots. So what it is, people want all this accuracy and to be right all the time when it's an umpire, calling a game for a team that could not even know that you exist. So imagine if these people are that passionate about this, they want to make sure that their wife or girlfriend is being properly pleasured. This next segment, if you're listening in the car driving with your kids or something, turn this off. I'm going to talk about some body parts, just a fair warning. So it's called robot humps, and you can make an exact replica of your penis, or you could, if your wife would prefer a larger model, that's also available. You can be in the room when I take the measurements. So what I do is I have a mini tape measure, I have a mini headlamp, sort of like a an excavator of gold. I have a GoPro, and what I do is I get in there and I map out a woman's vagina. Like there's umpire scorecards. This is called humps scorecards. So I know where the pleasure points are, if you've been hitting them or missing them throughout the session, where the cold zones are, the hot zones. And I do have a testimonial, if any of you are interested in buying this product or investing. It's from a current user. Here it is. Dr. Masterson has saved my relationship. I'm away often for my job for weeks at a time. I need robot humps to satisfy my lover while I'm away. I was in the room when he created this product. He let me hold my wife's meat curtains, and watching Bjorn's tiny elf-like fingers map out that pleasure pit was incredible. And that's from Daniel Vogelbach. So that was, what more can you say than robot humps? So think about that, Brian, investing in that.
You got a theme song for that, Bjorn?
Bow chicka wow wow robot humps.
I
That's
thought it was gonna
just
be
off the
like,
top.
I thought you were gonna do like my humps, my lovely lady humps. Oh no, is that your, oh, was that what you were talking about for the first female umpire?
No, that's perfect. I'm gonna write that down, and I'm gonna cut you in when we
That's what the,
make
no, that's they should make
shares
that sound for when the
available.
first female umpire gets a job. My umps, my lovely lady
I
umps.
love that idea,
Yeah,
and
that's very inclusive, and yeah, that's very, very good. I think we're great people. Or
all
me,
right.
you, me, you, and you're great people. Brian, you're a great guy too.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, back to the
Thanks, Bjorn.
regular
So yeah, are
baseball
we done
portion,
talking about
Bjorn.
the Mike the Mouth Midnight Madness League? Like Mike the Mouth, just to mention, Mike the Mouth is in dead last. He has 30 points in that league. Just as a side note, for me, just looking at the draft board, I need counting stats. So I think it's like it was my Volpe and Gunnar Henderson picks. Like I'm a sex pigs Benintendi. I got to make up for some holes in some of these picks, I think, is what happened. So it's like you miss on two, three, four of these guys that are underperforming. Jazz Chisholm got hurt. So sometimes it's just a lot about the draft, I guess, as
Did
well.
you keep Benintendi? Is he still?
No,
He's
I cut
been.
him,
Yeah, I
but
figured.
I held him too long.
Yeah.
But Harper came back earlier than expected. Looking over at Mark's team, he had Alcantara, his pitching is Alcantara, Fried, Ray, Cortez, Rasmussen, like just brutal luck in terms of health and performance. Just like he got nothing out of his pitching. So if he comes back and wins this league, and he's Mid pack.
Oh, there's still time. I wouldn't.
I'm not
I
ruling him
wouldn't
out at
count him out.
all. But man, like that would be. Mark's a really good player, so we'll see what happens. You want to look at our cunt?
Sure. Yeah. Let's have a look.
Canadian Ultimate National Tournament. So
Right.
this is the Earth Canadian League. You are in third, and you're 16th overall. I am in fifth. So again, I'm two spots behind you in this league. We
Perfect.
got Ryan Ireland in second overall, and Frank, am I wrong, in fourth overall, and they're leading this pack. So shout out to those fuckers, good guys. So you, what's going on here? I'm again, runs are my problem here. I'm good. I have the same issue, batting average, runs, and you are. How are you doing here?
Zach, if you're having a problem with the runs, what you wanna do is eat a lot of rice. Actually, fluids will help with the runs. It sounds counterintuitive, but staying well hydrated, healthy body, healthy life, should help fight off the runs. Go ahead, Brian.
I'm so lucky to have a doctor on the podcast. It's something I take for granted every day, Bjorn. I missed you. I missed you.
Thanks, Bjorn.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, so well, for me, the kind of the problem is my pitching kind of relied on DeGrom a little bit too much. So he's kind of toast, and everybody I add seems to suck. Chris Bassitt sucks.
Yep.
Yeah, I think yesterday I oh Severino, he's been pretty terrible. So I don't know. I think I'm going down on this one. But yeah, that I like this league a lot. I know you give a lot of shit to the late Fab run for
I don't
this
like
one,
that at
but
all.
I kind of like it, to be honest, because I'm really bad with time management and I can finish the Fab for all my other leagues and then have like an hour to sit down and
Oh
do
yeah.
the and this
It
Fab. So
is good in that sense, but I'm in 30 leagues. What's another one league to
yeah,
finish
for
before 10
yeah.
o'clock? For it's a drop in the bucket for me. The benefit of having that extra time doesn't outweigh the cost of everyone seeing the bids.
Yeah, and you have
For
so many
me.
leagues that it's easy to see who you're on.
Yeah.
So for me, probably not as easy to see
You're probably looking. You're looking
guys
at
I'm on. Yeah.
who's been adding who. Like, I don't know who else really plays in the NFBC, like other leagues besides myself that you can really look at. I think
Yeah, there's a few guys.
Frank has a few OCs. You can look at some yogurt stuff too, probably.
Yeah. But usually, yeah, you've got like 50 leagues to look at, so it's easy to
Yeah,
search up.
you can
And
see what
they're
league
all
I'm
named the
highlighting.
same, so it's easy to find them.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm
But
dead.
no, honestly, I've done that like 1 or 2 weeks. If there's a guy I'm really looking at, I did that for Louis
Garland.
Varland and I
Yeah.
saw, I'm like, oh shit, Zach's bidding on him in every league. I'm like, didn't know how, I didn't want to blow too much on him. But yeah, he got me by like $5 on him. But no, I don't really do that too much. I just like having the extra time because, like I said, I'm bad with time management. And
Just
for
makes me
me,
pay makes me paranoid because I know people could look at it, so I know I have to just up the bids.
yeah, and that league is kind of, it's different than the rest too. Like the amounts, you never know. There's a lot of bidding, but
Yeah.
the amounts is like,
Yeah, the Earth League
who
is
knows?
sort of like
Yeah.
kind of like a TGFBI-ish as well. You don't like it could be crazy. Like you don't it's kind of like that.
And everybody's seen all the Fab runs, so I don't know how
Yeah.
many people look at it, but they know the guys to target that they might not have otherwise.
Yeah.
But no, I like that league, and I like that it's later. Yeah, but yeah, it could be going better for me this year, but
Yeah,
I don't
same
know.
here. Well, you're ahead of me right now. Any like what are you looking at in terms of like if you had to give a general advice, maybe not for yourself specifically, but like in a league in a we're in a 15 team league, looking at where you're standing, what's going through your head right now when you're looking at like your categories, like one or two things that you're sort of considering in terms of strategy?
I would just see, it's not too much for me to look at. I do try to keep balanced all throughout the year. So it's at start early on, I really didn't have much pitching with DeGrom out so long. So I kind of, all my Fab money would kind of be more focused on pitching. But yeah, I try to keep balanced anyway. And there's also an, so that it's kind of complicated in this. There's an overall for the Earth Leagues, and there's also a side pot overall, which is separate. And I kind of keep a little eye on that as well. But yeah,
I didn't join the side part because a side pot
yeah.
because I drafted Altuve in the third round.
That's the thing.
and then
You
you
pick
can
if you want.
decide. That's another stupid thing about these leagues is that not only the fab it runs 2 hours later, but then there's side pods for all these leagues like this and the TGFBI. I think there is one, and you can decide whether or not to join them after you've drafted. And like, oh my god, Altuve is injured. I'm like, oh well, fuck that. I'm not joining the side pod.
Yeah, I don't know why it's done like that, but
Yeah.
anyway,
Anyways.
luckily for me, the 15 people ahead of me in the overall did not join the side pod, so
You're leading the side pod?
currently, yeah.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Overall, you're a fake overall winner.
Fake overall. Yeah, I don't care. You can pay me money for a fake overall, I'll take it.
What do you get for that? What's the winner get?
I don't even know. I think it was $50 each and there's like
Oh,
25 people in it.
that's not bad.
So whatever that is.
All
And
right,
that's real money, not Canadian. So
let's take this show home and let's talk about what the last thing is. John Posma. He's everyone's giving props to other people. Maybe I don't even want to mention his name. Mike Curlin, but everyone's embracing the throne, I guess. But
wow, he's on another level.
he's got enough praise, right? John Posma, and I made this agenda before I realized that he was going on the FTN podcast today that was released today. I've yet to listen to that. So if anything overlaps, I didn't know. I have not listened to that, but I am really looking forward to listening to that podcast. I expect it to be very good. But I already had this on the agenda. I wanted to look at John's teams because I'm not going to oversaturate the Posma market. I'm not going to get come ask him to come on another podcast right away. So might as well. He's got five teams, and they're all in the top 60. So he's crushing it. So I'm like, okay. I like to look at good players who are consistently successful. What are they doing? Is there any common denominator here? So I'm looking at, is there a theme in his draft? Is there a theme in Fab? Is there a theme in bench composition? Is there a theme in his lineup decisions? So first of all, I looked at his five main events, and I have all the data. Looked at, I don't know if you've like you can pull up the agenda. I've updated it. So these are the players that he's drafted a lot of. He's got Michael Walkin, Kike Hernandez, and four of his five teams. Those are his most drafted players. He was big on AJ Puk. He got three of those, but I don't really see any yeah, he's got good players here, but who are the like I think he has Wander Franco on one team. But who are the league winners this year? You know, Ruiz, like.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, just looking over quickly, I don't see
Like
any
he
big
like
risks
these are
with the early
good
picks, right?
players that he's drafting, but it's not like nothing's standing out at me from his player shares page. He does have Ronald Acuña, two out of his five teams, and he has Spencer Strider, two of his five teams. So his first round picks, he had the first overall pick two times. He took Acuña both times. So he did not diversify. And he was
I did
decisive.
listen to that FDN podcast on the way home from work today, and yeah, she talked about that. He almost took Trey Turner with a second
Really?
to diversify, but was talked out of. So yeah, that
But
was a good move
first
getting
half of
Acuna
the
twice
first,
there.
when he had the first half, his first round picks were two Acuña and then two Strider in the back half and an Ohtani in the middle. So those important decisions he made really well. And when we get to the fab portion, and I skip to that right now, but he didn't, there's no, like he's gotten some, like his pickups, you're looking at his pickups here, Bobby Miller twice, Royce Lewis twice. So when he shoots his shot big, like in the first round, he's been accurate. So he hasn't, when he's using a lot of his resources, be it a first round pick or a lot of fab, he's been using it well. His big pickups are two Bobby Millers, two Royce Lewis. He did spend 147 on Bryce Turang, and he did get some Mason Miller, but that's an unfortunate injury. He did like Michael Grove a lot. He spent a lot on Michael Grove. So that, I don't know what to think about Michael Grove. He could be someone that still becomes valuable, but he's been added and dropped more than anyone.
Yeah.
Down this list, I don't see a lot that stands out either, right? So I
It's
don't
not a
see.
lot, but it's to me it doesn't seem like people talk a lot about fab efficiency. I don't really think he's being overly efficient. I think he's kind of finding the one or two guys every week that he wants and not necessarily the flashy guys, but if he's going to bid 30, 40, $50 on these guys, especially early on, he's spending a lot in fab, but just not a lot of big splashes. Right.
Yeah, no, for
For
sure. And
me.
I'm bringing
Yeah.
him up because I think he's Probably might be like he's a top three like player in the NFBC, like maybe the best. I don't know. Like he's a top three or
Yeah.
five guy right now.
Well, for sure.
And when I say like I don't see anything stands out because I'm looking, because in my head I'm like if you're top 60 in five all five of your teams, you must be doing something outstanding, and
Yeah.
maybe I'm not picking up on it. So that's the Fab and that's the draft. I don't see anything that's glaringly like that I'm looking at. So I'm like, okay, what's his composition? I looked at his five teams, and like, what's he taking? So he's taking 13 or 14 pitchers out of his 30 positions in those drafts. One league he took 12. And I'm seeing that he loved Waka. He's taking Waka all his clockwork in round 22. So that was his guy. And it looks like that's working out for him. I don't know if he's held him. I imagine he has. AJ Puck, he held him because I was in some auctions with Posma.
Yeah.
And he I'm like, oh, this guy's on Puck. And I liked Puck before he got traded. I'm like, this he like Posma seems to be pretty confident that he's gonna be the closer there. So good for him. That was one thing that he did really well. And Puck's been good for him. So that's been get a helpful guy like that late. That's good. Looks like he's always getting one closer in the first eight rounds at least. So he's looking for a good like he's got Felix. He got Felix Bautista. He's gotten Alexis Diaz twice. Clay Holmes. Emmanuel Class A twice. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's just discipline. You know, he's not taking big risks. He's
No
not,
sex. No sex pigs.
there's nothing, no extreme strategy, right? It's just kind of a boring, which works, but I don't know. It's not really a fun strategy, I guess. Like, it is kind of
Let's
a,
make baseball fun again. Let's make fantasy
yeah,
baseball fun.
it is a Charlie Blackman approach without Charlie Blackman himself.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's,
His efficiency, like what did I say yesterday? Was it 37% has been dropped and 63 has held in terms of all the fab spent?
so is that good or
So I don't know if it's good or not, but that's just overall for
okay.
everyone. For him, it looks like his drop percentage of of all the fab that he's used, and he spent 794, 754, 642, 758, 647. So he's got a good chunk left. Like if for like how things are going, he's looking at what people are spending. He's got a good wiggle room for spending money. He's going to get some good players.
Ooh, I once danced in a go-go cage at the Wiggle Room. That was one of the best summers of my life.
Where's that?
That was in a little dive bar on Lake Michigan, just outside of Chicago. That was fantastic.
Sounds like do you have any videos?
I'll look. I lost my phone in that same lake one night, so I'll check that out.
Okay. So it looks like he's dropped, looks like around most leagues around 60% of the fab that he spent. So of those, like he's got $200 or $300 left in
Got a
all the
decent
leagues.
amount left. Yeah.
Got a decent amount left for he's gonna be well positioned for that. But he's dropped like 60% of all the fab that he's used, those players that he fabbed, 60% of that are off his rosters. So that's below average in terms of that. So he's churning it, which
He churns a lot, right? I'm not sure how many ads he has per week, but it's, I imagine he's near the top in
yeah, it's
ads per
not a
week.
suit, it's not super efficient, but he's gotten like Bobby Miller has been good for him, obviously. But like I said, he's been on point when he's been spending big so far.
Yeah.
Other
Yeah,
than that.
don't, I think that's kind of a pattern between his draft and his fab. You know, spend big when you need to, but don't take big risks with the big spends, right? Because I don't see a lot of risk in his first 15 picks in each draft. Kind of looks like he's taking the boring guys for the most part.
Yep.
And the fab, like he's spending on guys that he knows are probably pretty set, or they're just streamers and he's spending $3, $4, right? So,
Zach, he might have you he might have planted a seed in your head for you to think about him, because he actually replied to one of your tweets 2 days ago, which actually is kind of impressive because he only sends about a tweet or two a month. He's been on for 10 years and he has under 250 tweets. So great job, Blue.
You're being really creepy right now, Bjorn.
This is how you study your guests, and you learn. You're saying, what can I learn about these people to see why they do well in the main event? And I thought, well,
I'm just joking.
I'm gonna look at his Twitter. I gotta see, is this guy, you know, what's his story?
Okay.
Any other nuggets, Bjorn, or just reply to Zach? Is that Is that the nugget you found?
Yeah, nothing yet. He has a
Yeah.
picture of a farm.
A
Yeah, he
dairy
has a
farm, I bet, yeah.
picture of a farm.
Nice little tidbits you got there, Bjorn.
So he's from Wisconsin, I believe, judging by his Brewers hat. So it seems like a
Yeah.
lot of players are concentrated to the north, a lot of good players. I don't know how many fantasy baseball
Could be something
winners.
to that, yeah.
Yeah,
Actually,
I
used to
think the
be
more north you are, the better at fantasy you are. That's why, except for Kirlin, that's an exception. He might
Yeah.
be the best player. He might be probably is the best player in Florida.
Well, it could be the cold weather. You can't do a lot outside, so more computer time. Yes, my creepy research has led to some great nuggets.
Yeah, just to close this out. So he's got like mainly three of his four teams, he's got three bench pitchers right now. So he's carrying three pitchers on the bench. One team he has four on the bench. And he's starting Alzolay over Puck in one of his main events this week. And I'm just looking at other players. I'm looking at Phil. He's got three pitchers on the bench on both of
Like
his teams.
starting pitchers, I guess.
Don't recall. I think I just looked at the hitter versus pitcher mix. Mike Mager on his three solo teams, he's got two, three, or four. So it depended. Steve Weimer has got four pitchers on both of his teams. Just to look at a couple of the plasma types. Like I always think of like those, those are guys I'm sort of looking at to see what they're doing, among others. But I didn't want to look at, I didn't have time to look at everyone.
Creepy.
Yep.
Well,
What was I going to say next?
yeah, with the trash on waivers right now, I think it's important to have bench streamers anyway. Hitters you can find coming and going depending on schedule, but
Pitchers are tough.
pitchers are tough, so it makes sense. Yeah.
So, Bjorn, anything else?
No, I was kind of looking into your thing you posted about the other day about the NFBC. Could they refund FAB money for people who were doing that Corey Abbott thing? Would that fall in line with the other correction they made when people drop players or something like that? It's kind of weird that they do any alterations, to be honest.
I was surprised that they fixed your, like if you drop somebody by mistake, but I know I've had that happen to me.
Yeah,
And
I've had, yeah. As long as you email them right away, I think I did that like 3 years ago with somebody, and
I think I did that for football because I saw that happen. You get an email that somebody, oh, this drops and fix. I'm like, oh, okay. I wouldn't even bother asking if I didn't see that, but yeah.
So then did they put them back on your team?
Yeah,
What were they
somebody
talking?
dropped, who was they dropped this year? Yu Darvish was dropped twice, Lindor, same guy, and they had to keep telling them, no, you got to keep them. Well,
So another thing I
I
was looking at with Posma's teams are I looked at like where he was taking certain positions, and I think he was really good at finding pockets of value, where they are, where like where the pockets of values are. And one thing I noticed, I was looking at like, okay, where is he taking catchers? And most of the time he took like, I think he took Wilson Contreras twice, but other than that, he was waiting. Third base, he waited. Like a lot of like the sheep in the NFBC that, oh, you gotta take a third baseman early. He was very much a late third base taker. Shortstop. So in his five main events, four of them he took the shortstop in the sixth round. So it's sort of like he had a plan, and he wasn't necessarily like, he doesn't have like a lot of the same players. Like, yeah, he had four shares of Waka, he had three shares of Puck, but those are kind of late guys. In terms of like his early draft, like puzzle pieces, like I think it was more a roster construction thing that he had a plan of. Like he's got Tim Anderson twice, Willy Adames, and Wander Franco all in the sixth round. One time he took Corey Seager in the fourth. So like I think he had a plan. He's like, I'm not going to take a shortstop early. Or maybe it
Yeah.
had to do with the KDS as well, but he had a plan. Shortstop is going to be in the sixth round. If you look at like I'm looking at.
So he's always in the same store, part of the store, but maybe he's grabbing a Hawaiian shirt instead of a plaid shirt, things like that.
Perhaps.
Analogy
Yeah, from
helps.
a
Thank you.
no problem.
And I'm looking also that he only took one corner infielder in the first 10 rounds in any of the drafts, sometimes none. So he was like, he took Pete Alonso in round two, Riley in round two, Olsen in round four, and Jose Abreu in round nine. So really, don't even count Abreu in round nine. Like in the early, like he only took he was waiting on corners. He was waiting on corners. That like I don't he like Candelario at the end, but he felt like those that production. He has a nailer. He's got a Cronenworth. He felt like maybe just like you're not going to miss. You're not going to be gaining any speed early. So he wasn't
Yeah,
really
he
looking. He wasn't really looking at the corners early either.
seemed to go speed heavy to start with. And yeah, like some people see, oh, there's not that many third basemen I like. I better bump them up. But
Yep.
generally not a good idea, in my opinion.
Yep.
So seems like he had the same idea. Just pass on those guys and you'll get somebody. Whoever falls, grab them in the 20th round or whatever.
To Acuna. So two of five drafts of Acuna, two of five drafts of Corbin Carroll, two of five drafts of George Springer, Reynolds, Yelich, obviously Homer pick, but I think he was prioritizing that speed in the outfield. What about his middle infield? Middle, we talked about shortstop, but let's talk about second and middle. He was also looking at that kind of early. Altuve, Albies. He took an Altuve in round two. That hurts. That was right before the injury, I think. But yeah, really a focus on pitching is what I'm really gathering here.
Yeah, one closer in pitching. And I think
At least one
the
closer,
guys he
starting
turns,
pitcher.
like he's not churning his starting pitchers as much as obviously just
And I think that's a smart, that was the
yeah.
play. That was sort of my thinking heading into this year. Like
Yeah, same
I
with
had
me.
a lot of, I was really pitching heavy more so than I knew that NFBC is pitching heavy and you got to go with the market, but I think it's going to be like there's going to be exaggerated this year in because of the rules and just people are getting smarter. So I think that was the key to success, but he's got five teams in the top 60. They're all doing extremely well. He's been extremely consistent. So I
Yeah,
don't
that's
know.
one of the issues I had. I wanted to have like 9, 10, 11 pitchers that you could trust, starting pitchers out of the draft. And for me, that was one of the big things in the auctions that you kind of aren't able to do, because you can take 9 pitchers until your reserves start in like round 24. And by that point, all the decent starters are gone, so you can't really ship to them. And if you do ship to your starting pitchers, then your closers are basically leftovers. I don't know. For me personally, that's one of the hard things to deal with in the auctions versus the drafts. And yeah, it looks like Posma kind of went starting pitching heavy and go with the bench streamers.
Yeah, well, hopefully he doesn't keep this up because
Yeah.
I
Well, for your sake
wanna,
anyway, I don't
yeah,
have
for my
any
sake,
beef with any.
I'd like to pass maybe one of these teams. But yeah, let's wrap it up here. Bjorn, you got anything else? You had anything else planned for us?
No, this was great.
You were great. You're fantastic. I missed you. It's great to see you. Brian,
Good to see you.
good to see you, buddy.
Bjorn, one day I hope to see that Yelich tattoo.
Oh yeah, no problem. I'm
Yeah.
happy to take my shirt off every podcast. One
Oh yeah.
second.
Oh, you don't have to do
It's happening.
that. I just had to see if it was real.
Always forget what shoulder it's on.
There it is. Nice shading. There you go.
Yeah, I went in for my physical last year and my doctor started laughing. And I'm like, why is this guy laughing at my back? I had forgot I even had it. But yeah.
Looks great.
Thank you. Thank
All
you.
right,
I
boys,
can't
I
wait
gotta
to.
go. I gotta go home.
Goodbye.
All right, bye, boys.
Thanks. Thanks,
All
Zach.
right.